Small business owners are always passionate about their work, and they have a lot on the line. Let Verizon help champion your small business dream. Whether you own a small business or scaling one or starting one from scratch, you need Verizon Small Business Days. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon Business Experts for small business support. During Verizon Small Business Days, you can receive a free tech check with a one-on-one meeting with a Verizon Business Expert. Plus, Verizon Business Experts will provide you with personalized advice and solutions that are tailored to your specific small business needs. Take advantage of special offers and deals during Verizon Small Business Days and get more for your business. Verizon has your back. Don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/smallbusiness.
The market doesn't joke around, so why would you? Get serious. Choose Tasty Trade. Tasty Trade gives you the tools you need to make smarter moves. Dig into data with advanced charting, track profit accurately with order chain trackers, see risk clearly with curve analysis, and trade with low capped commissions, stocks, options, futures, and more. All on one platform. No wonder serious traders choose Tasty Trade. Join the club, genius. Tasty Trading is a registered broker-dealer and member of FINRA and SIPC.
My mission is simple, to make you money. I'm here to level the playing field for all investors. There's always a bull market somewhere, and I promise to help you find it. Mad Money starts now.
Hey, I'm Cramer. Welcome to Mad Money. Welcome to Cramerica. I'm people to make friends. I'm just trying to make a little money. My job is not just to entertain, but to teach you how this works. So call me at 1-800-743-CBC or tweet me at Jim Cramer. We have got two markets, the sane and the silly.
House of pleasure.
The sane's in industrial America. The silly, Silicon Valley. Every day we see this radical divergence between rational old line companies and the new line sleight of hand that characterizes so much tech. It plays out against a backdrop of what Fed Chief Jay Powell wants because, well, the Fed's still the most important determinant of the action right now. Jay Powell gave an interview where he seemed congenial, laid back even, talked about the guitar and, of course, potential rate hikes. So the averages roared. Then he acknowledged that interest rates would need to stay high for longer with no rate cuts in sight. Then the averages plummet. But then they bounce back from the lows. Perhaps because Powell really didn't say anything new at all. And ultimately, the Dow finished up 266 points. S&P gained 1.29%. And the NASDAQ pole vaulted 1.90%. Unlike the myriad bears who rule Wall Street, I think the temporary sell-off was nuts. It's insane that so many people seem to believe the Fed will go from slamming the brakes in the economy to hitting the gas within a matter of months. Yet that's the majority view, at least as reflected by the bond market, which is predicting a recession and a series of rate cuts. Maybe as soon as later this year, I am calling it the bong market, not the bond market, because it seems to be powered more by cannabis, not dollars. I'm sticking with my view that we are in a bull market now. So when the averages get slammed, as they did after Powell said something extremely obvious, as I told club members in our new home stretch program, it is a, yes, indeed, buying opportunity. Sure enough, we bounce back in part because more and more people believe in the bull. But let's get to the insane dichotomy between tech and the industrials that plays out every day. For over a year now, what have I told you? I have said you need to buy the stocks of companies that make things and do stuff at a profit, provided they return those profits to shareholders via dividends or buybacks, and have reasonably priced stocks. That's what I've said. It's been right. I'm sticking with it. And that's exactly what DuPont, the old diversified specialty chemical company, gave you today. DuPont made a lot of money on an operating basis, rolled out a $3.25 billion accelerated buyback program, retired $2.5 billion of long-term debt, all while generating 8% organic revenue growth. What could you ask for more? Oh, I'll tell you what, how about a 9% dividend boost for good measure? And that's why that stock jumped 7%.
That was easy.
DuPont's led by Ed Breen. He's a seasoned CEO. You know what he is? A grown-up who knows what shareholders really want. He understands how to run a company. He's got a long track record of selling off slow-growth divisions, using the proceeds to reward shareholders, and buy higher-growth entities. Yet DuPont still trades at around 20 times earnings. That's what makes it a true bargain. But that's the industrial economy. Now let's switch let's say, foci, and, you know, because what I'm going to leave are the companies that make a lot of money, throw it at shareholders, and give you a reason for a shock, and go into Alice in Wonderland. That's the tech world. A couple of ways tech stocks go higher. First, by learning how to lay off huge chunks of your workforce. Take Zoom Video, once the bell of the COVID ball, run by a truly good guy, Eric Yuan. His stock has been going absolutely nowhere. Well, it did fall from 588 and change to the peak down to the 70s. Today, Yuan announced that he's laying off 15% of the workforce. In a blog post, no less. And Zoom stock, what did it do? Well, true to way tech trades, it went up 10%. That's tech valuation creation to a T. And Eric, man, I don't mean to offend you, but that's what happened, okay? Now I want you to consider the industrial stock of Linde. It's a gas company, industrial gas. You can't see it. It's a phenomenal industrial. This morning, they reported an excellent quarter, 20% earnings growth, not the measly growth we were getting from so many tech companies or the profitless high-growth stocks that I despise. Linde boosts its dividend every year, and it's doing a monster buyback, although it's paused for the moment. But I think it's going to start up again very soon, and the stock will go up even more. You want to get in ahead of it. The CEO, Sanjeev Lamba, told an amazing story about all sorts of gases that are integral to the new economy. You need them to make high-end semiconductors, operate hydrogen fuel cells, create blue ammonia, which is needed for fertilizers. Linde's growth is consistent. It's been doubted and doubted, including this morning when the stock looked like it was going to open down 4. But then when management explained how the quarter unfolded in the conference call, the stock pirouetted and proceeded to finish the day up 14. What a reversal. More on this one later. In the tech world, oh no. All you got to do is say, we're doing AI, something artificial intelligence, or your stock flies. Now, admittedly, it is a big deal when Microsoft's rolling it out. They're a real company. They have grown-ups. They are using AI to gin up a better search engine, something more powerful than the also-ran Bing. You want to take a vacation in Mexico? You talk to it. The souped-up Bing will book you a 5-day trip. Give you an itinerary. Not bad. Sounds cool. Bing is still an unpopular search engine, though. Google's way ahead. And Microsoft's such a gigantic company, I don't know if it would actually move the needle. I know it's a serious initiative, though, but I don't know if it's enough to justify the stock's 4.2% run today. Although I'm pretty happy because the trust owns it. We got crushed when we learned that their cloud business, Azure, was slowing. Now the stock's much higher than it was before the quarterly conference call. You have to hold on to the good ones. Google's got Bard. I mean, it's like, I guess, like Shakespeare, huh? A competitor to ChatGPT, the AI platform from OpenAI, which Microsoft's investing. Now, Bard's trying to figure out how they can get your cell phone to answer questions without ruining their local ads that won't be blocked, because they're not going to be looked at, because you don't need to look at anything when you're giving it voice commands. No matter what, though, Google can't allow itself to fall behind Microsoft or lose its lead in search. Search is so lucrative. So you end up with an AI arms race. That's the legitimate side of the story. Right now, the market's rewarding anything with an AI connection, at least for a couple of days, no matter how tenuous. We got companies like C3 AI, which trades in the symbol AI, and the stock's been roaring purely because people are talking about AI. Today, the stock plunged 11% because C3 AI is an actual business, not just a concept, and business isn't really good. These guys have sales, but in terms of earnings, losing fortunes doesn't fit my profile. Let's remember, there are lots of pretenders out there. There's SoundHound AI, which has suddenly become a real AI blue chip, making sure it's part of the ChatGPT conversation. Everyone wanted in on this one until the stock tumbled 10%. My view, if you want to play AI, let's not fool around. Let's buy the real AI company. That's NVIDIA. Because all these artificial intelligence technologies you hear about are powered by their chips. Unlike the pretenders, NVIDIA actually makes money. How refreshing! And perhaps could make billions of dollars off their AI platform. And you need a huge number of these chips to make a chat AI, with some analysts saying this could be a $5 billion opportunity minimum. NVIDIA is the way to play it. I once named my late dog NVIDIA. Let me put it this way. Anybody can claim the AI mantle, but other than NVIDIA, Microsoft, and maybe Google, I'm skeptical of everyone else. Still, what matters here is that you understand the difference between hype and hope versus cold, hard reality. I like the industrials like DuPont or Linde because they're all about reality. I'm skeptical of stocks that rally because they're firing people or cutting expenses. That's not what I'm looking for. Sure, there have been one rare case, Meta Platforms, the old Facebook, where they announced huge cost cuts. Then the stock gave you a phenomenal run because they delivered a magnificent quarter. But that's because Meta is now behaving more like the old line industrials. You know, Meta came down enough to become a value stock. It was like a 14 times earnings. And now that Instagram's reignited and Reels might be profitable soon, it's become a nice growth story. Plus, Mark Zuckerberg announced a massive buyback. If any other tech company wants to give you a $40 billion buyback, I might give you a seal of approval, too. Bottom line, in this environment, I just want you to have a real earnings cushion with real buybacks, real dividends. Ideally, both. And I can't feel comfortable recommending anything without them. You can't cut your way to better sales, for heaven's sake, even if you try. How about Kevin in Pennsylvania? Kevin!
Hey, Jim, go Eagles!
Go Birds!
Hey, of these two stocks I'm going to mention to you, which one is the better buy right now, Datadog or T-Mobile?
Well, let's see. T-Mobile, Moffitt Nathanson says it's slowing down. Datadog had a bunch of downgrades last week. But T-Mobile makes a lot of money, and Datadog doesn't make money. T-Mobile! Okay, let's go to Alan in New Jersey. Alan!
Hey, oh, Mr. Kramer, I'm in Kramerica here.
What's going on, my friend?
Hey, I had to ask you about transportation. Planes, boats, trains, anything that goes. And I had a question for you. What is your take on Alpha Alpha Lima? That's American Airlines. What do you think it might do? I'll tell you
well,
what
I like AA. I like AA. I had a nice flight the other day on it, as a matter of fact. It's good. I like it. I like Delta, too. I think that group is hot. People are going. The people are traveling like darn fool heads off their right. They're going on planes and I like the airlines because there's just no end to travel. I listened to Hertz call today. That's what they told me. How about Karen in Florida? Karen!
Jim! Hey, I'm in Jacksonville, and I want to tell you before I ask my question, I thought you did great at Miami University. I watched that show. That was good.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. My wife passed Jacksonville about 25 minutes ago. She's on her way to Florida. And you know what? We can't wait to go back to the U. What a school. What's happening?
That's awesome. Okay, my question. I'm wondering how you feel about this. I'm wondering how you feel about United Health Group, UNH.
I recently UNH, look, it's out of favor right now. It had a great quarter. I like Humana more. It goes down every day, but they all can't go up at once. But I know that Humana and UNH both had good quarters. And that's what matters to me because I'm playing a long game, not the short game. All right, in this environment, I just want you to have a real earnings cushion with real buybacks or real dividends, ideally both. And I can't feel comfortable recommending anything without them unless the multiple is so low on earnings. Oh, man, tonight, despite reporting a mixed quarter, Linde's stock jumped higher. So what had Wall Street interested in this big industrial that I went through in about 10 seconds in the first hot block? That's okay. That's what I do. I'm discussing with the CEO. Then it was a tale of two video game makers, Activision Blizzard versus Take-Two. I'm running through reports from the two companies revealing the player that I think is headed in the right direction. And then Chipotle. How about this one? Reported earnings after the bell. Everyone hates it. I don't know. I kind of like it. Let's see what they dished out. Talk to the CEO. I think you should stay with Kramer.
Don't miss a second of Mad Money. Follow at Jim Cramer on Twitter. Have a question? Tweet Cramer. Hashtag Mad Tweets. Send Jim an email to madmoney@cnbc.com or give us a call at 1-800-743-CNBC. Miss something? Head to madmoney.cnbc.com.
When you're hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. Plus, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Mad Money. Just go to Indeed.com/Mad Money right now and support this show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Mad Money. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If, like me, you believe Jay Powell is going to steer us into a soft landing, well, you want to stick with the highest quality industrials. Companies like Linde, L-I-N-D-E, that's the number one industrial gas play. We like it so much, we own it pretty big. I have to admit, for the Chapel Trust. This morning, Lindy reported a seemingly mixed quarter, a slight revenue miss coupled with 26-cent earnings beat off of a $2.90 basis. More important, management gave a terrific forecast. What a conference call for both the current quarter and the full year, which is why the stock jumped over 4%. And some people sold it at 217 today. Like, 317, it was like crazy. People were just giving up. Can it keep climbing? Let's check in with Sanjeev Lamba. He's the CEO of Linde to get a better sense of the quarter. Mr. Lamba, welcome to Mad Money.
Hey, Jen. Great to be here.
Well, you have to be astonished that people still think that on a given quarter, they should sell your stock. When you are a secular grower that does not go up and down like so many cyclicals.
Jim, we are hugely resilient. You know our business. We are all pervasive, I would say. Every industrial activity, we have a small contribution to make to that. And obviously, you know, we serve right from chemicals, refineries, steel making, semiconductors, which you've talked about previously, frozen pizzas to a nice draft beer that you might get.
Yes. I mean, when I look at all the different markets you're in, you have the greatest mosaic of any company. Plus, I think that if there were, you're so instrumental that if there was a raw cost that spiked, you'd be able to reclaim that from your customers.
Absolutely. So, Jim, you know, we say with some pride that pricing discipline is something that's built into right. our DNA. Pricing discipline is all about, and we've done it for 30 years. It's not new.
Right.
It's a muscle we flex often. Contractually, we manage right. solid contracts that ensure that cost inflation is passed on to our customers consistently. In addition to that, obviously, productivity is very important for us. We manage our cost base right. to the extent we can. That's where margin expansion comes from. And we're all about margin expansion. We finished a quarter and a year with record ROC. Record operating margins, and I feel really good about nine quarters of, you know, EPS growth.
That's been sensational. Now, a lot of our viewers at home will say, well, why do you like these guys so much beside that? Because, you know, people care more about than just the numbers. And
sure.
I would say, because if you want to decarbonize the world, you guys are so instrumental. This OCI contract you got is gigantic. And I bet you if you walk our viewers through it, they'll realize that if there's hope for defeating carbon, it lies with you.
Jim, I absolutely agree with you, and I have to say that I'm excited about the OCI contract. Now, I just want to make the point that decarbonization is a big agenda, right? And we have a contribution to make, and we have the technology, the operational expertise, and the assets on the ground to be able to make that difference. OCI fits in our strategy. Our strategy is about making sure we provide clean hydrogen to other entities, processes, which can be decarbonized, and of course, new markets. OCI is a great example of new markets, blue ammonia. We're going to invest $1.8 billion to make sure we provide blue hydrogen and nitrogen for OCI to go and make ammonia and sell it in the marketplace. Long-term contract, we're tied at the hip, if you will, and we make sure that we're actually investing to ensure the broader decarbonization happens in the U.S. Gulf Coast and elsewhere. But of course, the asset base in the U.S. Gulf Coast means we have an inherent advantage and a leverage that we want to make sure goes into promoting blue hydrogen development in the U.S.
Now, you also are instrumental if you're going to open a semiconductor plant. Linde's going to be there.
Absolutely. Any top-tier player in the semiconductor space, we supply to them. Whether it's Samsung, it's TSMC, whether it's Intel, across the world, Jim, we are right at the heart of a semiconductor fab. I know there's lots of concerns around semiconductor. I want to tell you this. Our volumes going into semiconductors are at an all-time high.
I saw that there were more than 20%. That was extraordinary.
That's right.
At the same time, people should recognize, this is why I say that you have such stickiness and you're not cyclical, carbonization in your soda.
Indeed. If you want to pick up a Coke or a beer, we are right in there. And that's the reason you enjoy it.
Well, now, you also are going to be one day, I think, the key to green hydrogen, which we know is
that
once we can get costs down for electricity, you will be there, correct?
Absolutely, Jim. So we are on a journey to green hydrogen. We have great technology around that, so we feel good about the technology. In my mind, it's about 5 to 7 years away for scale-up.
Right.
And I think when that happens, we'll have a point of inflection where costs will be competitive.
I don't want to be too nitty-gritty, but you had an event that I think threw some investors off with this delisting.
Correct.
Now it's going to be much cleaner. And I think that maybe you could just discuss that there was some confusion, but that confusion is going to be ended soon.
It's simple, Jim. We were listed, dual listed in two exchanges, Frankfurt and New York. In Frankfurt, you know, essentially we were hitting the cap every other day. The better you perform, the more you hit the cap, and we got sold down. No fundamentals
That's
involved.
Index.
Technical
index
selling. That's right. Right. Index is selling it out. So essentially all we did was put a proposal through our board to the shareholders to say, you make the decision. 94% of shareholders voted in favor of delisting. It's a clean listing, a New York Stock Exchange, that ensures that everyone understands what's going on. There's no arbitrage, and we have clear visibility to what you want to get.
What's interesting is it does matter. See, I think there are people who are confused. I also think, look, my own view is that you've put through dividends. I know it's up to the board, a higher dividend in February, historically. And I also know that you have a tremendous buyback, but it's on pause because of this. People don't understand you've been a voracious buyer of your shares.
We have. We think it's the best investment you can make, Jim. And dividend growth, you know, so we have our capital allocation philosophy is very simple. Maintain rating, grow dividend, invest in every high quality project. Everything else that we generate in cash, share buybacks. And we are consistent in that. I expect to continue to do that. We are low on leverage. We have the ability to flex that muscle as well.
Well, look, I think you're the state. I love industrials, but I love industrials that grow like this, not crazy. And you're the best at it in the entire world. I want to thank Sanjeev Lamba. He's the CEO of Linde. I'm not kidding. Look, anyone who belongs to our club knows that this is our favorite industrial stock in the world. And money's back in for the break.
Coming up, after COVID, is there a gamer stock worth double-tapping X for? Go boss level and beyond with Cramer next.
The spirit of performance defines Acura, and now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura has been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Are the video game stocks finally bottoming after spending last year in the post-COVID doghouse? Last night, we got results from two of the three major video game publishers, Activision Blizzard and Take-Two Interactive. Both their stocks rallied nicely in response, the former up more than 5%, the latter up nearly 8%. But when you check under the hood, Activision did a lot better than Take-Two, and the contrast between the two quarters can tell you a lot about the state of this industry. Why don't we take them one by one, starting with Activision, which, remember, is currently in the process of selling itself to Microsoft. Although yesterday morning, the New York Times published a piece about all the regulatory hurdles they'll have to clear before the deal can happen. Between a merger-unfriendly FTC and a much more stringent group of regulators in Britain, I tell you that I think there's a high chance the combination doesn't happen. That's what I said this morning on Squawk. That's why Activision's trading in the mid-70s, even though Microsoft's trying to buy it for $95 per share. But after the quarter we got last night, I frankly don't even care about this Microsoft acquisition anymore. Take it off the table. It's a nice kicker if they can get regulatory approval. But even if they can't, Activision clearly firing on all cylinders. Matter of fact, I think Microsoft's stealing it $95. Last night, we learned that they earned $1.87 per share, and the analysts were only looking for $1.52 on higher than expected sales, bookings, free cash flow. Guidance was solid, too, although management's not giving us as much clarity about the future because of that Microsoft deal. The strength here was broad-based, though. The company has three divisions, Activision, Blizzard, and King Digital for mobile gaming. And all three broke records this quarter. That's extraordinary. In particular, their big blockbuster titles are practically printing money, like Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, which came out in October. Highest opening quarter sell-through in franchise history. And by the way, this is a very old franchise. At the same time, King Digital had 9% net bookings growth, driven by just still another great performance from Candy Crush, which is incredible because my wife plays it all the time, but she can't be responsible for this. The top grossing game franchise in the U.S. app stores for 22 straight quarters is Candy Crush. These mobile games don't get as much attention, but they're becoming cash machines. The entire mobile business for them is putting up records. Not too long ago, Wall Street was convinced that gaming would be lost in the wilderness for ages because people don't want to stare at screens now that they're safe to go out again. I believe that thesis. I've told you that. And it's wrong. Activision's quarter proves it's wrong. Got to admit that you own when you're wrong. While video games got a huge boost during the worst phase of the pandemic, then struggled last year as the world went back to normal, that's mostly because the stocks got ahead of themselves. The gaming space didn't die. It just went back to its pre-pandemic trajectory. So it accelerated and then went back to its old growth rate. By the way, that old growth rate was pretty darn good. Just not as good as what the bulls were hoping for in 2021. They got carried away. Now, how about take two? Ooh, very different story here. While their net bookings were up 60% year over year, thanks to the addition of Zynga, they bought Zynga, that's another mobile gaming business, that number was still weaker than expected. On the earnings front, they posted a 3-cent miss on off an 89-cent basis. Definitely less than ideal, but not terrible. So how come I say Take-Two was a lot worse than Activision? It's because of the outlook. They're talking much lower than expected bookings and earnings for the current quarter. That's grim. And CEO Strauss Zelnick painted a dour picture. Listen to this, quote, "We believe that consumers shifted their holiday spending toward established blockbuster franchises and titles that were offered with pricing promotions in light of macroeconomic conditions," end quote. You don't want to hear any CEO talk about macroeconomic conditions. That phrase doesn't come up when they think the economy's good. But what really matters is that they say blockbuster franchises are selling and other stuff's not getting the same kind of traction. In short, Activision's doing better than Take-Two because, at least for the moment, they got better games. They had the new Call of Duty in October, Rare's Take-Two's in a little launch desert at the moment, relying on its back catalog, the backlog. And this is just not enough for investors. At the same time, the other big difference between these two companies is their mobile divisions, King Digital for Activision and the newly acquired Zynga for Take-Two. At this point, it's pretty clear that King Digital's business is strong enough to overcome the weakness in digital advertising. If you don't know, many of these mobile games make their money selling ads. But if you got a platform like Candy Crush, something insanely popular, the downturn doesn't hit you as hard. On Take-Two's side, they've got Zynga. And Zynga just doesn't seem to be performing that well. Maybe they paid too much for this $12.7 billion business. The jury's still out. But it's worth seeing what Zelnick can do with this unwieldy property, because he can work his magic. How about the future? When it comes to Activision, the most important driver of the stock price is still that Microsoft deal. Although right now it's trading as though the deal won't happen. While CEO Bobby Kotick sounded optimistic this morning on Squawk, I think waiting for Microsoft may end up feeling like kind of waiting for Godot. The regulators don't like it. Even if the Microsoft deal gets blocked, though, I like Activision. To me, it's worth owning right here. In fact, if the deal gets blocked and the stock gets slammed, that could be just an amazing buying opportunity. They've got another potential blockbuster coming out this summer in the form of Diablo 4, and the strength of their mobile business lets them weather the gaps between major titles. That deal, mobile business is where the growth is. As for Take-Two, the most puzzling thing is that even though the quarter was worse and the guidance was much worse, the stock actually rallied more than Activision today. An anomaly? How do we explain it? Honestly, it doesn't make all that much sense to me. But my suspicion is that the buyers are looking through the present weakness and into the way future. What we learned from both Activision and Take-Two last night is that blockbuster, big blockbuster titles, they matter, especially sequels to major franchises. Take-Two doesn't have any huge new titles to compete right now, but at some point they will. This is the company behind two of the largest franchises in entertainment history, Grand Theft Auto, which is the largest, and Red Dead Redemption. Whenever they come out with a sequel, it's going to make a fortune. Of course, you have to take a bit of a leap of faith to believe that this is coming soon enough and that Take-Two can turn things around at Zynga. But if you can do these things, then you can bet on Take-Two. By the way, it was kind of a lot of humility here on this conference call. It's quite rare to see Zelnick be as bullish as he was on last night's conference call. He hardly ever goes out on such a positive limb. But of course, he beat himself up pretty bad, and he sure doesn't want that happen again. You know what? I think it may be that. I think the fact that he was so bullish when he usually isn't, maybe that got people going. Remember, we're now in a bull market that means companies will have a much easier time convincing Wall Street to give them the benefit of the doubt. The standard proves lower. Here's the bottom line. Only in earnings season can two companies in the same industry wildly diverge in quarters, and the stock of the companies with worst numbers rallies harder than the stock of the company with great numbers. I think Activision business is on fire here. I almost hope the Microsoft merger falls apart as soon as possible so that you'll get a better buying opportunity. As for Take-Two, you have to believe. Yes, you have to believe in a turnaround to own this one. It might be a little early after this big run. I got an idea. Why don't we take phone calls? Let's go to Beth in Minnesota. Beth.
Yeah.
Hey, Beth, what's up?
I'm just hanging out in Minnesota.
Well, okay. Probably chilly there. Super Bowl 5 years ago, Beth.
I know. We did well.
All right.
Well, not so well. My question is, with the rise of popularity in golf during COVID, what are your thoughts on Topgolf Callaway brands?
I have to tell you, I've liked Topgolf for a long time. I think it's terrific. And I think that even though it just spiked, I think you can still go higher. That's how much I like it. And thank you for the call. Let's go to Yannick in New York. Yannick.
A happy Super Bowl week. Booyah, coming at you up the street from Lincoln Center, Mr. Kramer.
You got that right. I can't wait to go. I'm actually even, you know, I'm so excited about it. I'm leaving Saturday morning to go there. What's up?
All right. So I love the dividend, love the growth, but I'm concerned about losing Apple as a customer and some antitrust scrutiny from the feds. Is it time to buy, sell, or hold Broadcom?
I'm never going to tell you to sell Broadcom because I sold it for my charitable trust after a huge run, and it was a mistake. Hock Tan is one tough customer, and I think ABGO is still good even up here at 614. I talked about that with Jeff Marks. I said, darn it, why did we sell that? But that's woulda, shoulda, coulda, and you shouldn't play that game. I think Activision Blizzard's on fire right now. I do almost hope the Microsoft merger falls apart as soon as possible. Better buying opportunity. At take two, well, you got to believe in a real turnaround doing this one, but Strauss Zelnick was very bullish last night, maybe a little early. Much more Mad Money, including my exclusive with Chipotle. Is it time to take a bite of the stock after people didn't like the earnings? I think that the people who are selling it might be wrong. They did report it, Bill. Then the memesters, you know, the people who bid up Bed Bath & Beyond? They found themselves in the hot seat today with the stock tanking nearly 50%. What's the big takeaway from this GameStop-esque action? I'll give you my take. And you know what? I'm not really that nice in what I want to say. Also, your call's rapid fire. Tonight's just the lightning round. So stay with Kramer. A little confusion tonight. What do we make of the numbers from Chipotle? The company reported after the close, and the results seem to be weaker than expected, pretty much on a lot of line items, same-store sales, total sales, earnings. But on the other hand, Chipotle's limited guidance for the current quarter was much more encouraging. They're talking about low double-digit same-store sales growth in January, high single digits for the full quarter. That's up from the 5.6% fourth quarter that has now already passed. Plus, don't forget they announced a new hiring campaign last week, bringing 15,000 more people for burrito season. New season to me, but that doesn't mean anything. It's not something a company does though when management lacks confidence in the future. While this stock's been a fantastic long-term winner and we have been with it all the way, the quarter might be considered rocky by some. I'm inclined to stick with it, but let's take a closer look with Brian Nickel. He's the chairman and CEO of Chipotle Mexican Grill. Find out the story behind these results. Mr. Nickel, welcome back to Mad Money.
Yeah, hey, Jim. Great to be here.
Okay, so Brian, this is a market that really only cares about the future. Every single quarter that's been reported, we're not looking at the past. We're just saying, what are you guys thinking about the future? And when I look at what you're doing in the month of January with double digits, I'm saying maybe that's the most important takeaway from this entire quarter.
Yeah, look, we're really excited about the results we saw in January. One of the most important things underneath that is the return to transaction growth for us. Which we think is really, you know, a great sign. We did have some transaction softness in the fourth quarter, which some of that was driven by our rollover. And then obviously we made a decision not to go aggressive on discounting and chasing some of the lower income consumers that we know have been, challenged over the last, let's call it last year, really.
Well, was the cadence good over the quarter? I mean, was December strong?
You know what, December was mild in our opinion. We were hoping for a little better December, but what we actually saw was as we exited December, things picked up, and then that continued into January. The thing that we were optimistic about as the quarter went on, kind of every month, our transactions continued to improve, and then they really accelerated as we exited December, entered January. And you know, this is, I think, a combination of things. We've been working really hard to get our operational fundamentals back in place and really eliminate all the workarounds that we permitted during really the pandemic and some of the staffing challenges that we had in the past to get back to executing Chipotle standards. And I think we're starting to see the benefits of that show up in our January numbers.
It's very clear that almost every input that you have actually went down. I mean, you actually have some disinflation here to quote Chairman Powell. And if transactions go up, that to me means this could be the beginning of a rather explosive 2023.
Well, look, you know, we're very optimistic in our company, both our employees that are working in the restaurants, the culinary that we provide, and then the economics that come out of that for our shareholders. So we love what we saw in January. The trick for us is to stay focused on executing the basics, provide people great experiences. We know they come back. We know they love our food. And I'm feeling really good about where we are right now.
All right, so we took out, of course, from Chipotle, as we always do when we see you. Admittedly, the prices have gone higher. You said the lower-income consumer's been not really, well, let's just say these are higher prices for the low-end consumer. But you're getting great stickiness, right? I mean, they're just people who really don't have much pricing. They're not really worried about pricing. They just eat at Chipotle no matter what.
Yeah, look, I think what we've seen in the data and with our customers is our higher income consumers, so consumers earning over $100,000, they've actually increased their visits. Consumers are earning less than $75,000, we have seen a little bit of a slowdown in frequency. But more importantly, the resistance to the pricing that we've taken, we've seen very little show up in our business. Obviously, we reset our delivery business throughout the course of 2022. I think we're now at the right economics so that that can be an ongoing proposition. And I thought it was important to get that reset so that it was set up for success going forward.
I think
it shouldn't be a drag on the business. It should be an occasion that if people want access, it comes with a premium, but the economics need to support the access mode.
I totally agree. Now, I also don't think you'd be looking for 15,000 people. Now, this is a new season for me, burrito season. I'm used to, you know, winter, fall, summer, autumn, those kinds of, you know, summer, the spring. I mean, how'd you come up with this one?
Well, look, it's just a natural occurrence as kind of winter starts to, you know, go in the rearview mirror. More and more people are out and about. And luckily, part of being out and about is visiting Chipotle. So we start to see week to week ramp up in what we call the burrito season. And it really is a mantra for us to make sure that the restaurants are staffed and we're ready to go. And look, one of the things that was really exciting to see in December is we were at probably our best turnover numbers that we've seen in about 2 years. Our staffing levels were the best they've been in over 2 years. So we feel really good about where we are. We're opening a lot of restaurants. We're planning on opening 250 to 280 restaurants this year. So we want to make sure we're staffed for burrito season. We also want to make sure we're staffed so that we can develop people to move into these new restaurants and these new field leadership positions.
Well, I heard Chairman Powell say, really, we just have 5 million more jobs than people. How can a chain like Chipotle find 15,000 more?
You know, look, I think it's two things. One, it's our purpose around food with integrity, cultivating a better world, and then it's growth. When you put those two things together, I think people love being a part of our company, and they love, you know, experiencing culinary done a different way and giving customers the food and the experiences that they want. And then personally, they can grow with our organization, Jim. You know, I'm really happy to say the last couple of folks that we've promoted to our regional vice president, which is an individual that oversees 3,400 restaurants, you know, they started out in the grill position and they've been with the company 10, 15 years. And, you know, there's nothing more exciting. You know this, when you get to promote people internally and they've worked hard for your company, they've demonstrated the values. And there's nothing better than celebrating a promotion, and especially when they get to kind of one of the highest levels in the organization that they've grown up in. It's really special.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I'm nodding at my executive producer, Regina Gilgan. We talk about this every day. That's how you create culture. And culture means that it's not hard to find great people. They want to work for you. Brian, you know that I think the future is far brighter for you guys than pretty much everybody else in your industry. And thank you for choosing Mad Money to come on the show. It's great to see you.
Yeah, great to be with you. And as always, Jim, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Excellent. That's Brian Niccol, Chairman and CEO of Chipotle. Do not be confused. The quarter that's coming is much stronger than the one just finished. Mad Money's back at Bloomberg.
Coming up, Kramer takes your calls, and the sky is the limit. It's a fast fire lightning round. Next.
And then the lightning round is over. Are you ready? Ski daddy, time for the lightning round. Let's start with Bob in Ohio. Bob!
Hey, ski daddy, how's it going?
Man, could be better. Thank you for asking. What's happening?
Hey, thanks for everything you do, and thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
Hey, my stock is just hit a new all-time high last week, and I'm looking to accumulate more when it comes down. What do you think of Parker Hannifin, PH?
Parker Hannifin had a remarkable quarter. It's just the kind of industrial I've been recommending. I think you buy it, and don't even have to wait for it to go down. I would buy it here. Let's go to Amber in Florida. Amber.
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm great. Wanted to know about waste management.
Everyone thought that quarter was not that great and was telling me to buy Republic Services, that's the one that acts better right now. RSG, that's what I would pick. Now I'm going to Mark in California. Mark!
Booyah, Jim, from Marin County, California, just over the Golden Gate Bridge.
So beautiful. I love it there. I love it there. Yeah. What's going on?
Well, I was sitting in my hot tub and, you know, drinking a bottle of red, just sobbing over the stock I purchased. I bought 400 shares. It went down, so I bought 400 more, averaging 120 a share on ConocoPhillips. And what should I do with it? Buy more?
You're fine, man. You're fine. If that thing is like a fine Merlot, my friend, I would buy all you can right here. Let's go to Sam in Maryland. Sam!
Thanks for taking my call, Jim. What's your take on Snowflake? Would you invest it for the long term?
Well, as the wonderful Frank Slootman said on our show, the forecast is the forecast. I like Snowflake. I will go with Slootman. He is a money maker. Let's go to Robert in South Carolina. Robert.
Jim, thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
Question. Zscaler.
All right, Jay Shortry is a money maker. The stock is all the way down. It can bounce. Ford net reported an amazing quarter tonight. People will take that stock up again, maybe for 3 days, and then you might have to ski it out. But all these stocks are coming back right now. Hey, let's go to Sam in Colorado. Sam!
Jim, listen, I know healthcare has been one of the hottest trades the past year on Wall Street. So my question is about one of the world-class, some of the leading genomic sequencing companies out there. They reported today, talking about Illumina. Stock seems to be at a five-year low.
Yeah, they missed again. I mean, look, if you're going to be in that business, there's only two. There's Thermo Fisher and there's Cramer Fave Danaher, although I like Thermo Fisher too. But Danaher is owned by the Chapel Trust. That will be pulled down by Illumina tomorrow, and when it happens, now let's go to Michelle in New York. Michelle!
Hi, Jim. It's Michelle from Texas.
Oh, fantastic. What's happening?
Nothing much. Just survived the huge winter storm that came through.
Excellent.
Jim, my question today is about Sunoco. S-U-N.
Look, I like the limited partnerships, but you know what? I am going to send you I would rather see you in, oh my God, I'm going to recommend it. I can't believe I'm going to recommend it. E.T. Yes, Energy Transfer, which has got I've got religion about, which is really rather extraordinary because it's got 9.4% yield, better than yours. Let's go to John in Michigan. John!
Hey, Jim, love the show. I got a stock that just got approved for an MS drug, TGTX.
All right, this is Mike Weiss. I always believed in him. I had on the show. Mike, come on the show. I think that you've got a winner, and I need to hear it from you because we did suffer through the bad days. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the conclusion of the Lightning Round.
The Lightning Round is sponsored by TD Ameritrade. Coming up. Managements have gotten wise to the mob of meme speculators. Recent cautionary tales of companies that outflank the barbarians. Next.
The meme stock contingent finally met their match. That's all I could think when I saw the foundering desperate Bed Bath & Beyond had drilled the moron memesters who bid their stock up, hoping to create another GameStop or AMC, those two tortured winners from a halcyon era that ended a long time ago. For once, a company was ready for these jackals when they pounced. After being refreshingly transparent, acknowledging they might have to file for bankruptcy, driving their stock down to a buck and change, the meme maniacs drove Bed Bath stock up to $7 in a frenzy of ridiculous trading. Did you know that yesterday the trading volume in this name was more than double the total number of shares? A sure sign that the memes were trying to corner the market in order to bust the short sellers who didn't really exist. But the self-proclaimed apes ran into a brick wall when Bed Bath did something smart. Although this company is completely inept at selling sheets and towels, they turned out to have a real talent for selling warrants and convertible preferred stock to institutions on the backs of these little guys who thought they knew better. Unlike the other meme stock targets, Bed Bath Management was ready and willing to create a bunch of new equity and annihilate the naive know-it-alls who never imagined that a new source of supply, $1 billion worth of securities, could possibly come raining down on their heads. Hence the stock's obliteration today, down almost 49%. The deal could be tremendous for a quick trade, but not for the memesters. The convertible preferred shares and warrants are far too sophisticated for those guys. They'll most likely be crushed by them because the smart trader can buy the converts and warrants, then flip the convert and have the ultimate short position that's protected by the warrants. Maybe that's why the stock almost fell in half. So you know what it is? It's a perfect pincer move. Bed Bath gets its capital to stave off bankruptcy. The short sellers can use the warrants to protect themselves from the meme traders while they bet that the common stock's headed lower. The memesters, they just get crushed. You know, you really get this kind of, rarely get this kind of opportunity. Bed Bath only had the chance to do this because these jokers are ready to be self-immolated by their own greed and stupidity. Historically speaking, bidding up potentially bankrupt companies is not a smart way to make money. Now that CEOs have gotten wise and used to the meme stock crowd, they're prepared to fully take advantage of their moron style. From looking at the documents, Bed Bath was obviously ready for this vicious roundhouse, something the memesters would never have known if they'd ever read documents. It's been a tough time for these fools. They bought shares in Nordstrom, another loser outfit, because their great champion, Ryan Cohen, took a position in the stock, then got bid up about 25% on Friday when his Pied Piper got his flock going. Now Nordstrom stock's experiencing a sickening slide lower, obliterating all the buyers, and it's not done. Who knows if Ryan Cohen will do the same thing for Nordstrom that he did for Bed Bath & Beyond, buy it, gun it, and liquidate it. Yeah, it's the old BGL game, right to the flowers keisters. There's another connection here. Cohen despises Bed Bath's former CEO, Mark Tritton, who happens to be on Nordstrom's board of directors. Cohen's now calling for be removed. I call that spite investing. Look, don't get me wrong. I'm all in favor of speculating, but I'm begging you to do it wisely. Don't go anywhere near a company that's on the verge of bankruptcy. They'll just take you to the cleaners. They'll one-hour martinize you if you give them a chance. Don't go after a full-line retailer when it keeps missing the numbers. Both are sucker plays. I hope these so-called apes can go back to playing Call of Duty or Grand Theft Auto, probably Candy Crush, rather than trading stocks like it's a game and letting management teams crush them with warrants and convertible preferred shares. Not that they know what that is. Maybe they should just bet on Travis Kelce to catch the ball 7 times on a terrific payoff on DraftKings. There are easier ways to gamble if you want to gamble. But this meme stock racket, time to throw in the towel. The people who run these companies see you now as easy marks, and they'll absolutely take advantage of you if you give them a chance. You know what they're going to do? They're going to slice off your diamond hands and replace them with cubic zirconia. All I can say is move on. The establishment got wise to you. Nice try. It was hilarious while it lasted. I like to say there's always a bull market somewhere. I promise I'll find it just for you right here on Mad Money. I'm Jim Cramer. See you tomorrow.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.